maybe there's something worth fighting for. What about our freedom and this piece of ground? We didn't get to keep them by backing down. They say it only lies the mess we're getting in. When you start to preaching, let me ask you this, my friend.
Need to get a little input from the chat room here, because according to my little bouncing colored things here, we should have good sound out there. So let me get a show of hands and see who all is. Yeah, Minnie says there's sound now. All right, we're good. Okay. I think, now let me go back and start this over now. Memorial Day, 2017, May 29th. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. And tonight is primarily going to be devoted to Memorial Day, patriotic things. You guys, I'm sure you expected that. And we've got a couple little news articles we'll slip in here and there. But we've got a lot of good patriotic music we're going to play. We've got we have a special guest in here tonight. Hasn't been with us for a long time. Some of you might remember Armored Recon that was in here with us. It's been four years ago now that Armored Recon was in here with us. So, Armored Recon, we're sure glad you joined us. Welcome to the Shooting Bench.
Glad to be here.
I know you are. That's, you know, Armored Recon is one of those folks that I dearly love talking to about America, because he's an immigrant, a legal immigrant, He went through all the, jumped through all the hoops, paid all the money, and has come to what we consider the greatest country in the world in spite of all the problems that we have. And we're going to get into that here in a little while. Let me get my ducks in a row here. Yeah, they're hearing you. Minnie says hello. Minnie Minpin's out of Texas. Yeah.
G'day.
Yeah, you hear that? Yeah, okay. Whatever. Okay, lots of stuff going on. We've had been watching the news, and there's just a ton of things. Well, as a matter of fact, Minnie posted some that I hadn't seen yet. We've been out of commission all day. We've been out in the woods, and we threatened to not ever come home. Got out there and just really, had a big picnic out there and cooked some bratwurst and hot dogs and potato chips and salsa and not another car all day long. No, one helicopter. And that's all the only other signs of civilization that we had all day. And that's okay.
It was fun.
Yep. We just sat out. We didn't do anything. We just sat out there and talked.
Sat until
throw stuff in the fire every once in a while and walked around a little bit. And that's the first day that I've taken off and not really done anything for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And you said that was the first one for you for a while, too. And yeah, you're always doing something. So anyway, we enjoyed it. We enjoyed it so much that we're trying to figure out how to make plans to go out there and spend a couple of days and actually do a proper camping trip. So I think that's what we're going to be working on here very shortly. Okay, now let me, I figured out, I got my music all fixed now from the problems that we had last week. I'm not any closer to getting people to come on Skype with me yet, but I did get it all put back together to run like it did before. So we've got a great lineup of music for you tonight. And then we'll, as a matter of fact, I think I'm going to play one of them right now. And then we'll be back here in just a minute and get started with all the other stuff we got planned here. So I've got this one right here that we're going to start with, and then we'll be back.
Cheers. see all the heroes who are willing to fight in the name of freedom laying down their lives. I pray God's grace will keep you safe from harm till it bring you boys back home. Till it bring you boys back home. Till it bring you boys back home.
Go. All right, now there we are. Today's Memorial Day, and one of the things that I see all over Facebook, and you know, people call you and talk to you and everything, and always it's Happy Memorial Day, like this was a birthday or you know, Christmas or something, you know. And I don't agree with that. I understand the intentions, and I know they're good intentions. You know, people call you because you talk to you because you're a veteran, and I get that. But that's not what Memorial Day is about. If there was ever a day that is not happy, Memorial Day is it. And it's not a day to call all your veteran buddies and tell them Happy Memorial Day. It's a day that we honor our war dead, not the wounded, not the homeless, not the, you know, you do that on Veterans Day. You do that every day. You do that all the time. But Memorial Day is set aside specifically for our war dead. And it goes back to the mid-1800s that we started to 1868, I think, somewhere in there. That we started doing this. It started out with, I believe it was Decoration Day. And then it wasn't Memorial Day until when? I think it was, 1970 something?
Something like that.
Let me go. I should have been more prepared for this. We've been busy all day and out where we didn't have any internet access, and that was not a bad thing. No, that was okay. But I think it was 1972 or 73 or so. I believe it was Nixon that made it officially Memorial Day, or it may have been that he made it, that Monday was a holiday. I don't remember for sure.
Yeah, I'm not up on all of the American holidays and traditions and stuff yet.
Well, you know, that's okay because you're doing your best. You're doing a whole lot more and a whole lot better than a whole hell of a bunch of people that I know. So we will definitely overlook that. Armored Recon, you know, some of you may not remember when he was on with us before. Armored Recon, do you want to give us a little overview of how you wound up getting here and what you've done? Go ahead and include your military service and everything and take as long or as little time as you like.
Okay, I come from a long line of military men. I have at least one male in every generation of my family has served in the military all the way back to the Boer War in Africa. My great-grandfather was in World War I. My grandfather served in the Second World War. My uncle served in National Service in Vietnam. I served in the Australian military. Yeah, so there's been at least one male member of my family in every generation that has served and fought. So yeah, I spent a few years in the Australian military doing a number of different things. And it was interesting. I joined when I was 19, and it was when I was going through what you call boot camp. They had just declared war in the Gulf. They were going after in Iraq. Didn't get to go there, unfortunately, but it was all done and dusted before I got, you know, qualified for what I was doing. However, I did get to go and play over in a nasty little hole called Somalia. That was an interesting experience. And then I went, after we did that, did some stuff back home domestically and chased terrorists around before terrorism was cool. So it was, yeah, quite interesting. But no, fast forward many, many years, and I met an American girl after I'd got divorced from my first wife, and fell head over heels and madly in love with her. And we got married, and so she was living here in America looking after her parents, and did the right thing. And instead of dragging her away from her parents, I moved over here, and we decided to live here, and lived happily ever after, or at least to today anyway. Don't know what tomorrow holds, but yeah, so that's a short and condensed Reader's Digest version of me, basically, and then sitting here. But no, I've known Coke for, how many years is it now?
5 years?
No, it'd be longer than that.
If you count Zion's Camp,
that goes, well,
that would go back to...
I left Australia in 2004 to go to England, and it was before then, so...
So it was 2003 or 2004?
2003, 2004.
Yeah, so, what?
Yeah.
13 years?
13-something years.
Yeah.
Been that long?
And we actually, yeah. And we actually became pretty good friends as friends go online without having ever met. Spent quite a bit of time talking. We were both
hanging crap on the idiots.
Yeah, pretty much. And I never, when he walked into the shop in 2012, just surprised the hell out of me. Mm-hmm. That was quite the treat. And we've been the best of friends ever since. Hang on here, I got a reply to this. Okay, there we go. And we've spent some time messing with guns and doing, security stuff and gun stuff. And
manly men doing manly things.
Yeah, doing manly things. And now we're actually in my man cave here, bringing this live and in living color to you. Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah, it's live. Anyway.
We need to do a podcast with, webcam and all that.
Yeah, everybody tells me I do. Kilogram just joined us. But,
just green screen the back, man.
I have no idea how to do that. All right, well, maybe, I don't know.
There you go.
I don't know how good I'll do on camera.
Well, I can bear looking at you.
I've got a perfect face for radio. Hey, listen to that.
I can't hear nothing. Oh, the coyotes.
Coyotes out there.
What are we doing anyway?
Lots of them. Yeah, we ought to take our light and go out there. Hey, Tinker, glad you made it in with us tonight anyway. Okay, like I said, I got everything fixed. So we're going to bounce in and out here on account of that's what I want to do. We've got a lot of songs here that I want to share with you tonight. Most of them are related in some way to Veterans Military Memorial Day and all that kind of stuff. And we've got quite a number of them that I want to get every one of them out. So I guess we'll just, get started.
We can get started.
Yeah, okay. Well, like I said, we've got just a very brief pause here in between talking and getting this going. So give me just a second, and here we go.
You ask me why I love her? Well, give me time. I'll explain. Have you seen a Kansas sunset or an Arizona rain? Have you drifted on a bayou down Louisiana way? Have you watched the cold fog drifting over San Francisco Bay. Have you heard of Bob White calling in the Carolina Pines? Or heard the bellow of a diesel at the Appalachia Mines? Does the call of the Niagara thrill you when you hear her waters roar? You look with awe and wonder at her Massachusetts shore, where men who braved a hard new world first stepped on Plymouth Rock. Do you think of them when you stroll along a New York City dock? Have you seen a snowflake drifting in the Rockies way up high? Have you seen the sun come blazing down from a bright Nevada sky? Are you hail to the Columbia as you rush into the sea? Or are you head at Gettysburg? Or struggle to be free? Have you seen the mighty Tetons? Or watched an eagle soar? Have you seen the Mississippi roll along Missouri's shore? Have you felt a chill at Michigan when on a winter's day her waters rage along the shore in thunderous display? Does the word aloha make you warm? Do you stare in disbelief when you see the surf come roaring in at Waimea Reef? From Alaska's cold to the Everglades, from the Rio Grande to Maine, my heart cries out, my pulse runs fast, the might of her domain. You ask me why I love her? I've a million reasons why. My beautiful America, beneath God's wide, wide sky.
Okay, that ended kind of quickly. Let's see here. We got, hang on a minute. There we go. All right. We're having a little, fighting with the music a little bit. That's okay. Anyway, let me get on the chat room, see what's going on here. See, Rubduck69, there's a new one. And Moss has joined us. That's good. Hopper, long time no see, buddy. All right. Anyhow, Armored Recon, you said something last night that made me want to get you in here again tonight. Mm-hmm. You know, I hadn't thought about it until you said that. And you said something about, you know, people say, you know, where you're from, and Australia is so beautiful, and there's so many things to do, and so interesting, and all the blah, blah, blah. Don't you miss it?
Hell no.
And that's not the answer they expect, right?
Nope. Nope, they look at me like with dumb look on their face of it. How could you not want to live in Australia? And very easily not want to live in Australia. It's full of socialist, communist, welfare state, I can't say the following words, but it's just ridiculous. I mean, the cost of living in that country is so far beyond stupidity. For example, minimum wage over there is $25 an hour.
Damn.
You can go and flip burgers in McDonald's for $25 an hour.
How far does a dollar go? What's a dollar compared to here?
Okay. I think the easiest thing to compare to would be a gallon of gas. We buy it by the liter over there. So it's roughly 4 liters to a gallon. We are paying somewhere around, depending on what part of the country you're in, anywhere between $4.50 and $5.60 a litre.
So gas is $21 a gallon.
$21 a gallon. And people complain about it being $2.40, $2.50, $2.60, $3 a gallon. I just don't know what they're bleating about.
So what's the dollar, I mean,
okay,
compared to over
Australian,
there?
A dollar American will buy $1.20 Australian the last I looked.
So it's not that far off.
Not that far off. But the economy over there is very strong. I'll give them that. They weren't hit, you know, in the downturn in 2008 and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Australia's economy has always been very good. They've got good industry. They've got good infrastructure. They've got technology. They've got natural resources up the wazoo. It's, you know, it's not funny. But the political climate there is just stupid. And don't even get me started on the gun control and all that.
Well, go ahead. That's let's just talk about the full gamut of stuff that, you know, we want to know why you don't want to live in Australia. What's so great about America?
America's free to begin with. Okay, America,
a lot of people would argue that right now.
Well,
we don't have the degree of freedom that we once had, but compared to other countries.
Well, I've lived in, this is the fourth civilized Western country, let's call it, that I've lived in. I lived in Australia, obviously, New Zealand for 3.5 years, another beautiful country, and I lived in England for 8 years. And out of those four countries that I lived in, and I've visited and been to probably another dozen beside that, this is still the most free and wonderful country on the face of the earth. I have the better friends that I've ever had anywhere in the world I have in this country. They're more accepting of me. It's ironic. You go over to Europe, and the Europeans look at American as arrogant pigs, basically. Over here, I still struggle with this, people apologize for everything. You know, oh, I've got a cold. Oh, I'm sorry. No, you apologize for everything.
I wonder about that myself.
Under the sun.
What are you sorry about? No, you didn't give me the cold.
Do it. Yeah, it's some of the most polite people that I know. You go to England, man, and it's just, they're just chauvinistic female pigs. And then there's the males who are gutless and spineless. But I mean, you look back in World War II, that soggy little wet Ireland stood up to Hitler and said no. And if they hadn't have done that, Europe would have fallen. And, you know, if America came into the war because there was someone to come and fight with. And it took that little soggy island to do that. You look at them now, they're overrun with ragheads. I mean, when I worked there, there was parts of certain cities and towns that you didn't go in because it was controlled by people of Middle Eastern descent. And they had their own, like, sort of pseudo police force that would, and it wasn't a legitimate one. And they would just, you know, control the areas and country and stuff like that. But back to Australia. Australia is so, they call it the lucky country. And I guess it is. It's very lucky. We didn't have to fight a war to come into existence. Australia sort of like historically slid into existence. It used to be under the crown of England, and to some degree it still is. But England said one day, okay, you can be independent. And so Australia became an independent country, distinct and separate from England. So we didn't fight a war. There was no war of independence. There was no blood spilt. You know, maybe a couple of politicians got some paper cuts or something. I don't know. But beyond that, Australia just slid into existence. Now, in saying that, back when Australia was settled, we basically had to carve the nation out of rock. Australia is a hard country. Every damn thing there is trying to kill you, including the climate. So, in effect, that we didn't fight a war, we did, you know, have to fight against the country itself. But in today's society, it's so multicultural. It's so all-inclusive that its own identity is disappearing. I can't identify what it means to be Australian anymore. Back in the, you know, you look at things like Crocodile Dundee and yeah, you can identify an Australian. The only way you can identify an Australian now is by their accent.
No.
If they were born and raised and they grew up there. But again, there's so many accents over there. Now, I'm sounding like a racist pig here. I'm not. I hate everyone equally. Okay. But I remember a country when I was a kid that you could go and walk down the main street of your town or your suburb or wherever you lived. We could play in the street as kids and, you know, your mother would call you at 6 o'clock at night for dinner and you'd all come running and come and have dinner. I wouldn't let my kids out in the street these days unless I lived out in the country with the, you know, country folk.
We have talked about that very thing.
You know, you don't have the right for self-defense over there. This is just loosely linked to the gun laws.
Well, how do you not have the right to self-defense? That just that escapes me. I can't fathom not having the right to. God gave me that right, not the Australian government.
But God has been removed from life over there. Yes, there's Christians there, and you know people of various religious beliefs. But here you have a constitution which enshrines those God-given rights. Over in Australia, we have a constitution as well, but it doesn't say you have the right to keep and bear arms. It doesn't say that you have the right to freedom of speech and all of the other things which it itemizes so that people can remember their rights. Over there, it's, you know, you're told to do what you want to do and all this sort of thing, but you don't essentially have full freedom. But back when I was in the military, we were doing stuff that the media knew we're doing, but the government said to the media, if you report any of this, we'll pull your license. So, you know, what we were doing was never, ever put into the news, or it was so watered down that, you know, it was beyond comprehension. But this nation here, even though there is corruption and there is, you know, debauchery and all sorts of things happening within government and so forth, it is still a free nation. You still have the freedom to go and start your own business. You still have the freedom to speak your mind, whether we like it or not. You're still allowed to do that. You're still allowed to defend yourself. I know some states in this country have different ideas of what it means to defend yourself, but by and large, most of the people in this country believe that you have the right to do that. You give people a fair go. Like I've been accepted by so many people here, as you know, I am still technically a foreigner. I'm hopefully sometime this year or starting next year, I'll get my citizenship through eventually. And then I'll be proud to call myself an American. But until that day, I'm still technically a foreigner, but I don't get treated like that. I'm included, and you know, people like yourself and other people that I know from, doesn't matter where they come from. It's good you're here, good to know you. Yeah, is there anything I can do to help? I'm building a house for my in-laws at the moment on our property, and I've had help galore from people that I know, people in my church, just coming and helping and lending a hand. That kind of thing doesn't happen very much back home.
Oh, yeah?
It doesn't happen very much in any of the countries I've lived in. You know, so this nation is just, I don't know how people can say that Americans are arrogant, Americans are selfish, or they don't care about other people. Americans spend more money on foreign aid, for example, than any other nation in the world.
Yeah, boy, I know that's right.
You know, we go and mess with other people's wars that they've started, or they've got conflicts, or, you know, they're downtrodden or whatever. And America's the ones that go over and try to help them, try to sort things out. We get it wrong sometimes, sure. But at least we're trying to do something. At least we're trying to help people. But I don't know. It's a pretty cut and dry place here.
Yeah, as much as being raised here, it's harder. It's harder for us, or for me anyway. You know, back in the late 50s, early 60s, when we had real freedom, of course, I guess people back then say back in the 1920s when we had real freedom. But you look at what it was when I was a kid, when I was when I was 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, compared to now, you know, we've seen America really degrade into something that we don't even recognize anymore. And I think sometimes it takes somebody like you that comes over here from someplace like England, Australia, or wherever they may come from, and say, wow, this is the neatest country in the world, because you can do this and you can do that. And you know what? We still do have a lot of freedom here. We still do a lot more things than other countries can do. We went out and done something today that you can't do in Australia.
Yeah.
Because
you can do for it, but you got to pay for it. You got to pay for a permit.
That's not freedom. If you have to pay for a permit and you can't build a fire, then I don't see that as being as free as what we can go out there and just throw out a sleeping bag anywhere we want to. The only thing we have to do is you can't stay more than 2 weeks in one spot.
Yeah.
So you pack up your sleeping bag, move it 10, you know, 20 feet over there, and now we're not in the same spot anymore. We can stay for another 2 weeks.
I'll tell you, I've loved America ever since I was a teenage boy. When I was in, I guess, elementary school, I was 14 years old, so I don't know what grade that would be here, but I was 14 years old, and we had to do a paper on a country. And kids had all picked this and all the, you know, exotic ones and foreign ones and Southeast Asia and all that. And at the bottom of the pile was the United States. So I pulled it out. I said, I'll have this one. And so that's what my paper was on. So I was doing research. Now, this is back in the day. We were talking about this today. This was back when you had to go to a library, check out a book, and read the book and research and write notes and do stuff. None of this internet. We had to go and do real work to get to write something. And I came across a copy of the Constitution. And as a 14-year-old boy, I read that document. Didn't fully understand it, but there was points and principles within that that I did understand as a 14-year-old boy. And I said, I want that. Because I understood the differences between that and what I had in Australia, even as a young kid. And I said, I want that. And from that point on, I wouldn't say I was infatuated with America, but I was very interested in America. And, you know, a vast majority of TV was American television and all that kind of stuff. So I guess it was a bit of a skewed picture, you know, Cagney and Lacey. Good looking as they were, it wasn't really representative of what America really was. And, you know, and so I'd watch all these shows and I always wanted to be familiar with America. And it wasn't until I married my wife that I actually had an opportunity to, you know, come and move over here. And the idea of moving and living in America had crossed my mind over the years. A couple of decades ago, I tried to do that with my then wife. But, you know, she wasn't interested. Matter of fact, back when I was in the military, I had the opportunity to do what they called then a service transfer from the Australian Army to the American Army.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know you could do that.
It was a program which they were doing because for some period of time, the American military back in the early 90s was struggling with certain trades and certain things and recruiting. And so I was actually approached by an American recruiter that was on an exchange exercise with us. And he said, look, you know, I can get you into the American military. We can facilitate it all, you know, visa and all that kind of stuff. I said, yeah, I'll be in for that. But I had one too many kids. I had one too many dependents, so I couldn't do it.
Well,
I had a wife and one kid, and it was good. But my wife had two kids, so.
Why did you get rid of the wife and bring your kids?
Well, I considered. And they were her kids anyway, so they were my kids, so. Yeah, that's a long story. I should have got rid of her back many years ago.
Well, yeah, and we look back now and say, yeah, they probably would have, but then if you would have, you probably wouldn't have met the wife you have now.
That's right.
So, it all worked out.
But, you know, I mean, my wife and I, we've traveled around America a little bit. She's been with her previous employment. She's been to a number of states and a number of places. But one of the most poignant things in I guess tying this into today is October last year we went over to Washington DC, and one of the things we've got to do is we went to Arlington National Cemetery.
That's cool, isn't it?
That
sombering.
Is one of the most somber and bringing you back to earth places that you can be. We went there and we saw the, you know, the changing of the guard at the turn of the unknown soldier.
Mm-hmm.
We saw them laying the rose for, I think it was the 101st anniversary of the selection of the unknown soldier in the tomb or something like that. I can't remember the year. But it was 100 and something years since they selected the remains of the unknown soldier to put in there. Now, here's an interesting thing. I don't know if you know this, but the Vietnam and the other wars, they've got tombs of unknowns for all of the wars.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a program that they're using DNA, and they're actually identifying those remains. And they're exhuming the remains and taking them back to the families.
Huh.
And they're getting,
I didn't know that.
They're getting interred in their home states or towns or whatever, if the family wishes to. Most of them want to keep them, but then they're transferred out of the tomb of the unknown, and then they go to the relative, you know, the appropriate part of the cemetery,
mm-hmm,
for them to be buried in, and they're given their name. But on the day we went, there was 29 internments.
Wow.
29 internments. They average, the tour bus thing was saying they average 25 internments a day for the 6 days in the week that it's open. 25 souls get laid to rest in that cemetery. And they've just cleared the last 4 or 5 acres available land for the cemetery. And there is no more land after that for Arlington. And so they will fill that up, you know, in due course. But they've got a program, a thing that they're calling the Millennium Project. They're cremating a lot of the remains now. And they're building these great big tall towers. And they're putting the cremated remains into these towers. And they've got some, like, underground vaults that they're putting the remains into and stuff as well. So they're going up and they're going down,
mm,
because they're literally running out of ground to bury those that are entitled to be buried there.
You know, I went to the, what's the equivalent of the unknown soldier, Tomb of the Unknown Soldier in East Berlin, mm, when I was there. And they were talking to us about their burial problems, running out of room and all that, and they bury them over there vertically, bury, mm-hmm, them standing up so that they have, you know, four times as much room,
yeah,
to put them up there. So, yeah. That is very. I mean, I was respectful and all that still, you know, for those people, but it's a very different thing to go to Berlin and participate in there. We watched the changing of the guard and all that stuff, and it was a whole different ballgame. Not only in the way they march and all the stuff, just the way they conducted themselves and everything. It was just different than ours. Mm-hmm. It was neat though. I enjoyed going to it.
It's interesting to see the different things. In other words, can I use the word celebrate Memorial Day? To me, in my mind, it kind of seems like the wrong word, but we observe.
Observe. Yeah, I think it's right.
And when I was living in England, I got to know a World War II vet. One of the greatest souls I've ever known. And he was a commander of a tank troop. He commanded a troop of Churchill tanks in World War II. And it was his squadron that liberated Bergen-Belsen concentration camp.
I'll be darned.
And the Germans knew that they were coming, and they had evacuated and left the place, but left all of the prisoners there, all of the Jews and the Poles and all the others that were there. And they literally drove over the gates with the tanks and came into the place. And they started, you know, freeing the Jewish prisoners. And he said it was just like a scene out of a horror movie, just seeing these almost walking skeletons coming to them. And they came down off their tanks, and the whole squadron just took pity on them and saw these wraiths just coming at them, and knew that they were starving. You've seen the pictures, you know.
Oh yeah.
And so they broke out their ration boxes and their ration packs, and they started feeding them. But as they were doing that, these prisoners were dropping and dying because their bodies were not used to food. So in their act of kindness, they were actually killing these people. And then he and a couple of the other officers and NCOs worked out what was going on. They stopped the food, and which they had to do.
Yeah.
And they realized that they had to give it like
very small portions,
at a time. And the guys that couldn't handle that, they just wanted to help. They wanted to help these people, but they were restricted in the fact that while they were trying to help, they were killing them. And so they had to sit there literally feeding them crumb after crumb and sip of water and this. So anyway, the rest of the military forces came in, and medical providers and all that kind of stuff, and they did all that sort of thing. And then he said one of the best things he ever had to do in the war was, now he was driving a Churchill crocodile tank, which is a flame throwing tank,
mm-hmm.
and his squadron were flame throwing tanks. They got to raise that place to the ground. They opened up their tanks and they burnt that place to the ground. And he said that was the best thing he ever got to do.
I bet it was. Yeah, that was. I've told the story about me being in Berlin, you know, numerous times, but that was the darkest time of my life, is walking into some of those buildings over there. There was no good spirit in there.
I had no desire to do that. Yeah, I'd like to visit Germany, and there's a few countries in Europe that I haven't visited yet that I would like to. And Germany, it's parts of Germany that are, but when it comes to the concentration camps or anything of the, you know, the Nazi museums or anything like that, I have no desire to even.
I said the same thing when I first got over there, and I said, well, yeah, I'll go. You know, it was a free trip. It didn't cost me anything to go. And I said, yeah, I'll go, but I'll just, you know, go to the beer joints or whatever, mm-hmm. and, you know, go have fun. I'm not having any desire to go to any of these places. And then on the train ride over there, we had to ride over there at night. You can't see anything, can't take pictures, and you had to go all the way across East Germany at night on the train. And while I was going across there, I thought about it, and I said, you know what? I am going to go.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because I can.
Yeah.
Because I can go and look, and I can take in all this stuff, and then I'll get back on the train and go home.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did. But it was dark.
Mm-hmm.
man, going to some of those rooms, it was like you must feel on some of these, I don't know, Harry Potter movies or something, where you go into some of these buildings and these evil spirits come out of the walls and stuff. And that's very much what it was like over there.
I had that kind of feeling when I was in Somalia. That was an evil place in my mind. Yes. The value of life was next to nil.
Yeah.
You know, and the killing fields, in Cambodia and things like that, where the Khmer Rouge had gone through. I've been into some of those places, and it's just, it emanates evil, you know. And this is the thing that I don't understand is how, you know, it's the old saying, evil triumphs when good men do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what it is in the world today. Like that, this one's a little bit close to home, this one, the bombing in Manchester.
Yeah.
My daughter was at that concert.
That's what she was saying, yeah.
And now she wasn't hurt or injured or anything, but
The potential was there.
I mean, it's so close. But you see the footage of it, and the little bit of footage I saw, you see everyone streaming out of the place, but where are the men rushing in?
Yeah.
You know, where are the men these days? And yeah, I can see these, and excuse me if there's anyone listening that falls under this category, but the idiots that wear the NRA t-shirts and have a smartphone where a gun should be.
Mm-hmm. Of course, in England.
It's England.
Yeah. But even here, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
You know, they're like Second Amendment t-shirts, or like 3% of t-shirts.
And they're not wearing a gun.
And they're not wearing a gun.
And they live in a gun-friendly state.
Like Arizona, you can arm bears as you want, but
see it all the time.
You know, I carry a gun, one, because I can, two, because I choose to, and three, because I value my family and my life. Now, I don't expect anything violent to happen to me where I live. The likelihood of it is relatively subdued compared to Chicago, for example. But I still have the ability to be able to defend myself, and I will take that ability. So, you know.
What's in the chat room here? Yes, Longside, I got your text, and I thought I responded to that. I'll look and see. Maybe I didn't send it. I thought I responded to that. But, the likelihood is pretty low. So is the likelihood of having a wreck that you need a seatbelt or your house burning down to use your fire extinguisher. I mean, it's not a damn bit different than so many other things that we do.
See, it's the thing. I mean, I have comprehensive insurance on my car. Now, I know that I'm a capable driver. I've been trained in driving techniques beyond what the average person would be. So the likelihood of me hitting someone is pretty low. But it's the other idiots on the road that I'm worried about, mm-hmm. that I don't know how they can drive. You know, you see them zipping in and out. And even on these rural roads where we live, where traffic is minimal compared to something like LA or Phoenix or, you know, Atlanta or anything like that, I still have insurance, and that's what a firearm is. It's an insurance policy.
Exactly.
I hope I never have to draw my sidearm to defend myself, but I'm damn well sure going to if I need to.
Yep.
Now, a friend of mine says to me, "Why do you carry a gun? Are you paranoid?" I said, "I carry a gun. Why the hell do I need to be paranoid?"
Yeah. Carry a gun because the cop's too heavy.
Oh, man, have you seen the size of some of them? I couldn't carry that.
One of my listeners here and a very dear friend from Washington said that he, in 2005, had the opportunity to move to Australia and to get land and join the Australian military at his current rank. So I didn't know they had that, mm-hmm. that trading deal.
Australia is a different story. Back when I was in, our total defense force was Army, Air Force, and Navy, including non-combatant roles, total defense force was 65,000 people.
Wow.
There's units in Hawaii that have more people than that on them, you know.
Yeah.
And so we are hurting. And the way that the government treats the military over there, the retention is not very strong. I mean, they throw money at them and stuff like that, and you get good accommodation and that kind of thing. But it's very difficult for a population of 20 million people, 22 million people, I think it is now, to raise a large army. And the government doesn't want to, even though we're defending a landmass the same size as the continental United States. We've got more coastline than any other nation in the world. Literally any other country. We are the sixth largest landmass, if I remember correctly, in the world. We are the world's smallest continent but largest island.
Yeah.
And we're talking thousands of miles of coastline and a population of 20 million odd people gathered around the edges of the coast. And a defense force of, like I said, when I was in, it was 65,000 something people. So we are spread so thin, it's not funny. And we're off, you know, running around Iraq and Afghanistan and these other places helping, you know, willingly, you know, America and coalition forces. And we don't even have even if the entire military of Australia stays in Australia, if Australia was attacked, we couldn't defend it on our own. There was a study done that the Air Force would last 3 days. The Navy would last 3 weeks, and the Army would last 6 months if we had no outside help.
Yeah. That's not good odds.
And some of these Southeast Asian militaries that are on smaller islands than what we have twice, three times, four times the size of the military than what Australia does. So, you know, we like to keep friends like America and England and things like that. So it's an interesting situation. So yeah, we will welcome anyone that, you know, with reasonable military experience and keep the rank like, you know, that listener did and so forth. So yeah.
Yeah, you'd like this guy. He's, he's well versed in that game. Well, I think what we'll need to do here, I'm going to look at something here real quick. Not finding what I'm looking for here. No, I'll look for it. But I told you there's some songs that I want to play tonight. And whatever it takes, we're going to play all of them. So we're just now an hour down. So we'll come back and then we're going to play a few songs. Maybe we'll run grab a snack while these are playing here. So. All right, let me get everything situated here, and we'll be back in a few minutes with Armored Recon. I've got some other things to talk about. So hang on.
I'm just trying to be a father, raise a daughter and a son, be a lover to their mother, everything to everyone. Up and at 'em bright and early, I'm all business in my suit. Yeah, I'm dressed up for success, from my head down to my boots. I don't do it for the money, there's bills that I can't pay. I don't do it for the glory, I just do it anyway. Providing for our futures, my responsibility. Yeah, I'm real good under pressure, being all that I can be. I can't call in sick on Mondays when the weekend's been too strong. I just work straight through the holidays, sometimes all night long. You can bet that I stand ready when the wolf growls at the door. Hey, I'm solid, hey, I'm steady, hey, I'm true down to the core. And I will always do my duty, no matter what the price. I've counted up the cost, I know the sacrifice. Boy, and I don't want to die for you, but if dying's asking me, can. Beside my brothers and my sisters, I will proudly take a stand. When liberty's in jeopardy, I will always do what's right. I'm out here on the front lines, sleep in peace tonight. American soldier, I'm an American soldier. I will proudly take a stand. When liberty's in jeopardy, I will always do what's right. I'm out here on the front line, sleep in peace tonight. American soldier, I'm an American.
My children and my wife, I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that fight to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to L.A., where there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say, to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that life to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless you.
there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the U.S. Mama's sitting there. Looks like I only got a one-way ticket away. I sure wish I could give you one more kiss. And war was just a game we played when we were kids. Well, I'm laying down my gun, I'm hanging up my boots. I'm up here with God and we're both watching over you. So lay me down in that open field out on the edge of town. If you're reading this, I'm already home. If you're reading this, halfway around the world, I won't be there to see the birth of our little girl. I hope she looks like you. I hope she fights like me. Stands up for the innocent and the weak. I'm laying down my gun, I'm hanging up my boots. Tell Dad I don't regret that I followed in his shoes. So lay me down in that open field out on and love my soul. It's where my mama always prayed that it would go. If you're reading this, I'm already home. Reading is, there's gonna come a day you move on and find someone else, and that's okay. Just remember this, I'm in a better place. The soldiers live in peace and angels sing amazing grace. My mom always prayed that it would go. If you're reading this, I'm already home.
There's a lot of men dead, so we can sleep in peace at night when we lay down our heads. My daddy served in the army. We lost his right eye, but he flew a flag out in our yard till the day that he died. He wanted my mother, my brother, my sister and me to grow up and live happy in the land of the free. Now this nation that I love is falling under attack. A mighty sucker punch came flying in from somewhere in the back. Soon as we could see clearly through our big black eye, man, we lit up your world like the 4th of July. Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list. And a Statue of Liberty started shaking her fist. And an eagle will fly, and it's gonna be here. When you hear Mother Freedom start ringing her bell, and it'll feel like the whole wide world is raining down on you. Oh, brought to you courtesy of the red, white, and blue. This big dog will fight when you rattle his cage. And you'll be sorry that you mess with the U.S. of A. Cause we'll put a boot in your ass, it's the American way. Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list. And a Statue of Liberty started shaking her fist. And the eagle will fly, and it's gonna be hell. When you hear Mother Freedom start ringing her bell, and it'll feel like the whole wide world is raining down on you. Courtesy of the red, white, and blue.
I was just out of the service, thumbing through the classifieds, when an ad that said old Chevy somehow caught my eye. The lady didn't know the year or even if it ran, but I had that $1,000 in my hand. It was way back in the corner of this old ramshackle barn, with 30 years of dust and dirt on that green army tarp. And when I pulled the cover off, it took away my breath. What you call a Chevy was a 66 Corvette. And I felt a little guilty as I counted out the bills. What a thrill I got when I sat behind the wheel. I opened up the glove box and that's when I found the note. The date was 1966 and this is what he wrote. He said, my name is Private Andrew Malone, and if you're reading this, then I didn't make it home. But for every dream that shattered, another one comes true. This car was once a dream of mine, now it belongs to you. Though you may take her and make her your own, you'll always be riding with Private Malone. Well, it didn't take me long at all, I had her running good. love to hear those horses thunder underneath her hood. I had her shining like a diamond, and I'd put the rag top down. All the pretty girls would stop and stare as I drove her through town. The buttons on the radio didn't seem to work quite right, but it picked up that oldie show, especially late at night. I'd get the feeling sometimes if I turned real quick I'd see a soldier riding shotgun in the seat right next to me. It was a young man named Private Andrew Malone who fought for his country and never made it home. But for every dream that's shattered, another one comes true. This car was once a dream of his back when it was new. He told me to take her and make her my own. Proud to be riding with Private Malone. One night it was raining hard, I took the curve too fast. I still don't remember much about that fiery crash. But someone said they thought they saw a soldier pull me out. They didn't get his name, but I know without a doubt it was a young man named Private Andrew Malone who fought for his country and never made it home. But for every dream that shattered, another one comes true. This car was once a dream of his back when it was new. I know I wouldn't be here if he hadn't tagged along. Oh, thank God I was riding with Private Malone.
All right, we're back. We took a little break there and got a bite to eat and visited with the girls for a few minutes while we let you play some of these, or while we let you listen to. I actually played them for you. Let you listen to some of these songs. Got a few more I still want to play tonight. I'm going to skip a couple because we played them Friday night, but got some other good ones you want to listen to here in a little bit. Cool. Hey, have you guys looked at the what do they call them? Rompums?
Rompum.
Yeah, they're rompers for...
No, self-serving man would be wearing them.
Not for men.
So maybe those but, gay boys.
Yeah, they're rompers for things that are not female.
Things that are not female. There
you go. They're, it's not cool. It's not.
Put the link in the chat room so they can.
Yeah, I'll put the. Let me go find this link for you, and I'll let you, because you can't. I could play it for you, but it's just not the same. You need to.
It's a visual feed.
Yeah, you have to watch this. And since these have come out, these rompers for men, they call them rompums, and since they've come out, there's dozens of videos come out. Excuse me, making fun of them. And rightfully so.
Could you imagine John Wayne wearing a rompum?
Well, Sean Connery did.
Well, yes.
And I'm not sure why. I
but that was back in the 60s. They had a lot of weird crap back then.
Yeah, I think people didn't notice it so much back then. But I got it. Let me see if I can. Where do I get this link? There we go. I'm going to get this link right here. And you guys need to watch this. If you haven't already seen it. Yeah. Kilogram says rompers, man buns, vaping. Yeah. Not a man. There you go. There you go. You need to watch that. It's a minute and 48 seconds long.
They can watch it after the show.
Yeah, you can watch it afterwards. Now, probably got their, I guess we ought to play a song now because I've got their, I know they're going to, their curiosity is going to be up. They're not going to be able to stand it. So I'm going to play a song and you guys watch the video. How about
saw her from a distance as she walked up to the wall. In her hand she held some flowers as her tears began to fall. And she took out pen and paper as to trace her memories. She looked up to heaven. The words she said were these. She said, Lord, my boy was special, and he meant so much to me. And though I'd love to see him just one more time, you see, all I have are the memories and the moments to recall. She held some flowers as her tears began to fall. He's more than a name on a wall. She said he really missed the family, being home on Christmas Day. And he died for God and country in a place so far away. I remember just a little boy playing war since he was three. Lord, this time I know he's not coming home. She said, Lord, my boy was special, and he meant so much to me. And though I'd love to see him, but I know it just can't be. So I thank you for my memory and the moments to recall.
Now we're back. Let me get this thing straightened up here before another song starts. Well, I guess I did already. Damn, I never cease to amaze myself sometimes. Anyway, the Armored Recon and I have talked about this romper thing. Of course, when you talk about rompums, then the obvious... The conversation obviously moves to tactical kilts.
Tactical kilts.
No, I won't be doing a kilt.
You don't have to, man. No. I've got fine Scottish blood in me. I'll wear a tactical kilt any day.
That's okay.
You know the old saying, don't you? What's worn under a Scotsman's kilt? Nothing. It's all in perfect working order.
You know, all kidding aside, I wouldn't wear one.
No.
But, seriously, in a tactical environment, I don't know why anyone would.
What, wear a kilt?
Yeah. If, when you're talking about, body fluids and broken glass and cactus and you know, so many things that you get into, it doesn't make sense to me. It's like wearing sandals out there, which I know in some countries they do that too.
Here's the thing. There's not a lot of cactus in Scotland.
I know, but we're not in Scotland. You said you wear one here.
I wouldn't go to war wearing one. I would just wear one.
So you want a tactical kilt just to wear around just to be tactical?
Cool.
Then a tactical. Okay.
Well, people can wear these, what, tactical sneakers and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, that's all very tactical. Right?
Uh-huh.
It's, and all, that's all you have to do to sell something is paint it black and call it tactical. It doesn't matter what it is.
Oh, desert tan.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, just desert call it tactical and you'll sell it.
Yeah.
They have, what was it? Oh, they got a lever action rifle now. It's got a tactical collapsible stock on it.
Oh, and the rails are all over
it. It looks way ugly, but it's tactical. And it would go very nicely with your kilt.
Could you imagine John Wayne carrying a tactical rifle?
I can't imagine him wearing a tactical kilt either.
No, I don't. I couldn't imagine him wearing a rifle either. But see, now, he was a real man, that one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'd say that's a safe assumption.
Yeah,
yeah, I really would. But, yeah, could you see John Wayne in a romper? Romp him?
Nope. Nope. He'd probably start shooting people that were wearing them.
Yeah. That just needs me a dip here. Let me get my skull out of here. Wait, is that my skull? Oh, man. But all kidding aside, I can see the advantage of a tactical kilt. I really can.
I thought you were going to say you can see the advantage of a romper.
Oh, no, no, no.
I'm going to have to slap you.
No, that won't be happening. There is no advantage. You know, if you want to wear cutoffs and a t-shirt, no, that's okay. With cutoffs, t-shirts, that's good.
What's cutoffs?
Yeah.
I'm
they don't have cutoffs in Australia?
Well, it might be called something else.
It's where you take an old pair of pants, cut the legs out of them.
Oh, okay. Right. Yeah, I got what you mean.
What do they call them there?
I don't know. We just cut them off. We didn't call them anything. We weren't that far advanced. We just called them jeans. Shorts or something like that.
Yeah. I've spent all the time I was in Spain, pretty much I was in cutoffs and a t-shirt.
Shorts and a t-shirt.
Yeah.
See, that's how we would say. Yeah, shorts and a t-shirt.
Well, shorts are different. Shorts are factory-made proper shorts that I don't wear shorts. I don't wear
But they're not longs, are they?
No, they're not longs.
Yeah, so they're shorts.
No, but they're cutoffs.
Logic would dictate.
Because they were pants
shorts
originally, and you cut them off, so that makes them cutoffs.
See, now, what was I saying about Americans?
I'm not sure.
I don't know. You gotta love them.
I do, actually. Kilogram thinks kilts ought to be made of Kevlar by now, huh? Well, but I do see the advantages of a kilt and why people wear them. I mean, I'm sure that they're in hot weather. I'm sure that they're cool. I'm sure that they're handy. And I can see, and I know this is going to be a big joke. We'll have lots of people in the chat room having big fun with it. But I can see in a running and gunning situation, you need to use the bathroom, kilt's the way to go. I mean, just a little quick squat here and off we go.
But, oh boy, you took this far out of proportion.
Well, it's you have to think about all of these things. You know, I'm one of the first ones. I'm the first one that I know of. I'm sure somebody else did somewhere, but I never heard of anybody else do it. And covering in concealed carry classes, what do you do with your guns in public bathrooms or any bathroom, as far as that goes, for the concealed carry holder? You know, there's people that'll lay them on the back of the toilet. There's people that'll hang them on the little hook on the door. Neither of which is acceptable. You can lay them on the back of the toilet. Some toilets don't have a back. You know, it's just the pipe there. There's no place to put it.
Some of them roadside, with truck stop ones, you're lucky if there's a pipe connected to the toilet.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I've had the same issue myself. Where do you put your handgun? Now, some people now, I don't know, what school are you? Are you the one that then sticks them down in your drawers?
Yep.
See, now,
there's no possible way to forget it.
I have considered doing that. I'm not one of those. I don't do it. Now, me and my Alzheimer's, not that I haven't been, I'm getting old, I would pull them suckers up, something would get caught, something would go off, and I'd lose something.
Well, you're not supposed to pull them up with them in there.
Absent-mindedness, man. We're men. It happens. You know, so, but no, I put mine generally down on the floor next to me.
No, no.
Well, you can. Mm-hmm.
No, because the guy in the stall right next to it has just as much access to it as you do.
No, next to the wall.
So what if the guy comes in while what if there's not one there? What's already occupied?
Then I wait. I have that much
control. What if you can't wait? Sometimes you just can't wait.
I put myself into a position that I can't wait.
If I had the, if I was good enough to put myself.
I don't have a bladder like
you did. No, no, it ain't the bladder I'm worried about.
it's a dilemma at times, but.
Well, I don't believe in hanging them in the peg on the door because, for one reason, I can't reach it. And the other reason, if somebody reaches over, you know, there's people that do this and just reach over the door for whatever's there. It can be a coat. It can be a purse. It can be, a briefcase, whatever they've got hanging on the hook, and just take it and go. What are you going to do about it?
Nothing.
Uh-huh, exactly.
Don't do that. Wait, I'm going to pull my
drawer. Stop. Let me wipe and put my pants up, and I'll be right there. And what if it's a gun and he just grabs it and pulls it up? He's probably going to pull the trigger.
Correct.
Trying to get it off. So that's not an option.
No.
Laying it on the floor, you know, there's at least one case I know of, a TSA agent, a female, laid hers on the floor and walked off and left it.
TSA had guns?
Mm-hmm. Some of them, yeah, for a long time.
Wow.
And it was a Glock 22, and she's walked off and left it. Another customer, passenger probably turned it in.
Tell the truth, I don't actually lay it on the floor. I put it on my boot. I lay it on my boot.
Well, that could be all right.
And it's, you know, a couple of inches higher and stuff like that.
And your boot's not as close to the...
I'll tell you what, some of those drop floors, man, I wouldn't
want my gun on.
I wouldn't want nothing standing on there.
But if you just set it in that little nest right there between your knees, there's no way you're going to forget it.
I have a problem with that because I remember reading in a police magazine once, a trade magazine, about a guy called Eddie Schmidlap. And the title of the story was Eddie Schmidlap and the Epididymal Disaster. And long story short, basically he was a truck driver and he tucked his big old revolver, 357 Magnum, into his belt. Pointing at, see now that's, yeah. Pointing his revolver at his giblets. Now, chain of it, I don't know if this is a true story or not, but it was portrayed as one. He gets into his truck, he sits down. Now, somehow the mechanics of doing that pulled the trigger, he blew off his left giblet.
That's
at the
good.
Same time he did that, he farted. It ignited the gases and cauterized the wound.
I see. That's a quick, easy way to do it. That is combat medicine.
Yeah, that's combat medicine right there. That's self-aid if ever I've heard it. And so that's the story. Now, the emergency services, the paramedics and stuff get called, the police get called, and apparently it takes them 15 minutes to recover themselves into a state after they found out what happened, that they can actually help him and render aid. Now, that story is in my mind when you talk about putting your gun down in your drawers and then, you know.
Well, I'm not going to pull my pants up with it in there.
Well, no, but, boy.
It's as safe just sitting there as.
Because I tried that. And somehow, and I don't know if I got the mechanics wrong, but it fell down in the leg.
Yeah,
I'm fishing around in my leg.
Yeah, you got the mechanics wrong.
Yeah, I must have. I'm fishing around in the leg trying to pull this gun out. And it was just, oh, no, no, no. So I just lay it on my boot, on the floor.
You know, we could have a, and Doc's got a good suggestion here, we could just have a custom gun pouch sold into our romper.
Mind you, I tell you what, maybe it's an argument for shoulder holsters to come back.
Well, I don't spend too much time during each day pooping that requires me
to. Me neither. It's just a minimal kind of
thing. Usually it's not out in public all that often.
Yeah.
But
so what do these idiots do with their cell phone?
Talk on it?
No, when they're in the bathroom, they've got it where their gun should be. It's obviously heavy, so do they take their They'll find out and stick it down. Or
no, they're playing games and texting on it. They're holding it. So. That's what
bleeping and stuff.
Yeah, that's what, and next door to the next stall over, that's what you hear all the time. All right. Enough of that.
There's silliness.
There's actually quite a few, but there's just a couple of very important songs. This one right here, I've got to get this song out here before we go. If we don't do anything else, this one has to go. So let me change this all over again, and we'll be back in a minute.
Andrews Tower, good morning. Angel Flight Bravo 02, ready for takeoff. Angel Flight Bravo 02, you're number one for takeoff. Runway 25, get them home, boys.
All I ever wanted to do was fly, leave this world and live in the sky. I left the C-130 out of Fort Worth town. I go up some days, I don't want to come down. Well, I fly that plane, call the Angel Flight. Come on, brother, you're with me tonight. Between heaven and earth, you're never alone. On the Angel Flight, come on, brother, I'm taking you home. I love my family and I love this land, but tonight this flight's for another man. We do what we do cause we heard the call. Some gave a little, but he gave it all. I'll fly that plane, call the Angel Flight. And come on, brother, you're with me tonight.
Come on, brother, you're with me tonight.
Between heaven and earth, you're never alone. On the Angel Flight, come on, brother, I'm taking you home. Come on, brother, I'm taking you home.
Stars are bright. Feels kinda like church in here tonight. It don't matter where we touch down. On the Angel Flight, it's sacred ground. When I fly that plane, call the Angel Flight. Got a hero riding with us tonight.
Riding with us tonight.
Between heaven and earth, you're never alone. On the Angel Flight, come on, brother, I'm taking you home. Come on, brother, I'm taking you home. Come on, brother, I'm taking you home. Come on, brother, I'm taking you.
when the light goes green. Best believe I'm in the zone to be. From a yin to my yang to see. Put a grin on my skin when you come to me. Cause I'll win, I'm a one of a kind, and I'll bring death to the place you're about to be. Another river of blood running under my feet. Forged in a fire that long ago. Stand next to me, you'll never stand alone. I'm last to leave, but the first to go. Lord, make me dead before you make me whole. I feed on the fear of the devil inside, of the enemy faces in my sight. Aim with a hand, shoot with a mind, kill with a heart like Arctic ice.
I am a soldier and I'm marching on.
I am a soldier and I'm marching on. The blood spilled on the floor. And if another one stands, I'll kill some more. Bullet in the breach and a fire in me. Like a cigarette thrown to gasoline. If death don't bring you fear, I swear you'll fear these marching feet. Come to the nightmare, come to me. Deep down in the dark where the devil be. In the mall where the jaws and the razor teeth. Where the brimstone burns and the angel weeps. Call to the gods of a cross or a path. Them a silhouette hangs like a body wrap. Hope is a moment now long past. The shadow of death is the one I cast. I am a soldier and I'm marching on. I am a warrior and this is my song. My eyes are steel and my gaze is long. I am a warrior and this is my song.
We're not just going to shoot the bastard. We're going to cut out their living guts and use them to grease the treads of our tanks. We're going to murder those lousy bastards by the bushel.
Now I've been bleeding, I mean to inflict the grief. And the least of me is still out of your reach. The killing machine's gonna do the deed. Until the river runs dry, I'm a last breath leaves. Spin in the air with a head held high. I'll stand in the path of the enemy line. Feel no fear. My pride, for God and country, I'll end your life. I am a soldier and I'm marching on. I am a warrior and this is my song. My eyes are steel and my gaze is long. I am a warrior and this is my song.
All right, now you sons of bitches.
All right, we're back on here. I don't like the little bit of delay we have because of this software, but it's not too bad. It's just a few seconds, so we can live with it. Well, I think we're gonna ease on towards the door here. We got things to do, places to go, and people to see, and work to do tomorrow and everything, and I hope you guys had a good weekend. I hope you remembered what it was for, and not just a reason to go out and get drunk and have a good time. I'm all for having a good time, but just remember what this day is for. There's no happy Memorial Day. We can say that for everything else, but and I'm not sure, you know, there's really no reason to say anything for Memorial Day because the day is for the dead. If you want to go and talk to the dead, you know, and pray and all that, that's fine, but there's really no reason to tell your friends and the veteran. There's no reason to say anything. And say, except, you know, this is Memorial Day. How about let's go put some flowers on some graves? Or how about let's go pray with this family over here that recently lost their son or something like that. Other than that, there's no reason to even talk about it because it's not for us. It's not for the living at all. And I think some people mistake that as just another reason to, and you can't, you know, I'm not ever going to say anything bad about somebody that recognizes veterans or anything, but right. it's just not the place for it. But anyway, so we're going to get on out of here and we'll see if we can get Armored Recon in here from time to time, talk about some other stuff. He's got a lot of experience in, things that we like to talk about. So we got one more song. We're just going to close with that song. We won't be back, and we'll see you again Wednesday night, hopefully, with any luck. And thanks for joining us tonight.